message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
In Paul's letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 11 of the first chapter. So if you want to join with me, we'll read this passage together. And then I'm going to give you all my points, just one right after the other. And then I'm going to concentrate on three or four and before we receive our communion today. Didn't you enjoy the music? Jeff's never pastored a church, but he preaches when he sings. I wish I had that ability. It is a gift, and he knows that, and he's used it for the Lord, and we thank him for that. And my wife knows. If in God's providence I go before you, you'll be singing at my funeral too. Okay? Now, if other things happen, you don't want me to sing at yours. So. I mean, there's only 11 days between our birthdays, so it's a toss-up, isn't it, right?
I think you're older, though, right?
I am older. Yeah. 11 days, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Begin with me in verse 23. I'm reading from the New King James. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. And by the understanding of the Seder meal, there were four cups during that meal. This was the third cup, because it was the cup of blessing. Jesus did not drink the fourth cup. He said, 'I'll not drink of this cup again until I come in my kingdom.' The fourth cup was called the cup of victory." So he received and passed on the cup of blessing for us, the church, the body of Christ. And when he returns and we have that great supper with him, it'll be the cup of victory that he'll drink then. All right, so again, now listen to him. He says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it." He didn't say you got to do it every Sunday, you got to do it every Monday, you got to do it once a month, you got to do it once a week. That's not said here, but it's as often as you do it. You could do it every day. You could do it once a year. But as often as you do it, what does he say? As often as you do what? Remember me. Remember me. Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthily manner will be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthily manner eats and drinks judgment to himself," pay attention, "not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here's eight R's. Take a piece of paper, pencil, write them down. Here's the first one. Remember. The second one, ransom. The third, research and reflect. Recognize. Respectable. Here's a word. Rickety. Seven. Reclined. And lastly, reproved. Reproved. So Jesus says, when you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, that we know as the communion, the Last Supper, it's the communion of the church. It's where we come together, regardless of the name on the front of the church, and regardless of any other doctrine, we come together to remember what He did for us. You say, well, yeah, I won't forget what He did for me. You know, all it takes is a little trouble and we forget. All it takes is something not going the way we think it ought to go, or the way that we hope it would go. Or all it takes is something unexpected that we weren't counting on, and we can quickly and easily forget. So we have this communion. We have this time of taking a piece of bread and taking a cup that represents His blood and His body. And by looking at those, we remember what He did for us. Because He knew the human nature. Look at Israel. Israel gets out of Egypt miraculously. God miraculously prepares a way for them. God miraculously takes care of them when they can't build a bridge. And yet they go through all of that miracle, all of that great release, and they get out of the wilderness, and they start griping and complaining and wish they could go back to the old ways. Because they easily forgot. And when God gave them the Passover meal, that last meal before they left Egypt, they were to keep that year after year because they would tend to forget. And it was a relationship, it was a tradition that was passed down by word of mouth rather than just on paper. So that from one generation to the next, each one would know what had happened, what God had done. So like you and me, when trouble comes, when difficulty comes, when the sad and bad news comes, remember, He's never forsaken you. And He's never done with you. Even when you take that last breath and you go into His presence, He's still going to use us someday. Because the church, the body of Christ, will be God's museum piece, if you please, throughout all of God's creation, worlds without end, to communicate what grace and mercy is. When the rest of God's creation says, grace, what's that? Mercy, what's that? The angels don't even understand that. That's why they love to look on the church to see, what is this? Grace, this amazing grace. So even in eternity, God will allow us to be used by Him. So remember. Number two, ransom. Isn't it interesting? Here Paul says, every time you take this cup and every time you take this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. You know what, Pastor? I believe in having communion like we're doing here today as the body of Christ. I believe it's an intimate thing. I believe it should be an intimate thing. But if I understand this scripture, it's to be done in such a way that we are proclaiming the Lord's death. The very act of taking the communion is a proclamation. And proclamation is to be done so that everyone hears. Everyone knows. In some fashion, in some way, we've got to renew ourselves with the understanding of this great tradition and this great experience. I'm not suggesting we go outside and stand on the street corner, but hey, some other people do stuff like that. Why can't we? What a greater proclamation than to just stand on a street corner and God's people have communion together. And not even say a word, because in taking the communion, it's being proclaimed. Why do they do that? They do that to remember what He did for them. So the communion's not just a remembrance. It's a acknowledgement. It's a proclamation of what He did for us. And that was, He ransomed Himself. He paid the price that I could not pay. He paid it. And number three, we are to take it worthily, not unworthily. We're to take it respectfully, to show respect. That's an interesting word, isn't it? The Bible tells men to love their wives, and men don't know how to love. Women know how to love. Every one of you women in the room, you know how to love. It's born into you. You have it from the very beginning. That's how you become a mother. You love. You know, the real definition of a mother is when there's one piece of apple pie left, she lets everybody else have it. She's willing to sacrifice. She knows love. Women understand love. Men don't. They think they do. And just when they think they've got it right, then they blow it. But interestingly enough, God tells the woman not to love the husband. God tells the woman, through Paul's writing in Ephesians, you women see that you respect your husbands. Men know how to respect. You know, Jeff and I can have an argument as men, and I'll punch him and he'll punch me, and we'll get up and hug each other and we'll respect one another again. Respect is an interesting thing. So what is it? Well, it's showing honor. And when we take this communion, we dishonor the Lord. We disrespect the Lord when we take it unworthily. When we're not respectable with it. I'm not talking about what you dress. You know, I'm not talking about how you comb your hair. I'm not talking about any of those outward features. I'm talking about an inward relationship that has to do with the body of Christ. So let's look at the next word in conjunction with this. Respecting. The next one is examine yourself. This is one of the few times we're told in Scripture to self-examine. And the word here means literally to research. To research. Today, we don't go to the library like we used to and open up the card catalog and find the topic and the subject, then go to the places in the library and pull the books off and open the book and start flipping through and read this and read that, dig until you find what you're looking for. Research today is done primarily how? On the internet. So you Google it and try to find it and rewrite it so you got it so Google knows what to do. How to find what you're looking for. But it still takes time, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. To research. And if you really do the research, it takes more time to do the research than to quote the nugget that you finally do find. Well, that's what Paul is referring here. If we examine ourselves, we're going to look deep. We're going to look inside. We're going to do it. It's not the Spirit of God doing it for us to begin with. We're looking inward and we're trying to find something that may be there that dishonors the Lord. And when we don't do it and still receive the communion, we're dishonoring the Lord and we're causing harm to ourselves. Because we have failed to properly discern or recognize the body of Christ. I'm not talking about that cup and that bread. Yes, we say this is the body of the Lord, but I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about relationship. If we knew the context of this story, if we'd taken time to read the first part of the chapter. They were having an agape meal. They would come together and eat, and they had become so disrespectful in that eating that there were people that were coming there that weren't getting all of the food. It was being eaten up before they could get anything, and they were the ones that were hungry and needed it. And besides that, they were drinking, overly drinking, and becoming actually drunk before they even took the communion. And Paul is telling them, that's not why you're coming together. The agape meal isn't necessarily the food that you eat beforehand. He says it's probably better that you eat before you get there. Now, I'm not quoting him. I'm translating or interpreting a little bit of that. But nevertheless, the real emphasis on the meal is the body and blood of Christ that we're going to do in a moment. The real reason we've come here today is to receive this communion that we're going to do together as a body. However, if we don't properly recognize the body of Christ before we take of that, we could take damnation to ourselves. We could actually physically hurt ourselves by not recognizing the body of Christ. So what Paul is saying here is the real intimacy is the relationships that we have with one another. Whether it's husband and wife, brother and sister, father and child, cousin, aunt and uncle, grandparents, and then beyond that, the church body, other people in the world that we are in relationship with, the workforce, the people that we come into contact with every day. Is there an offense somewhere? Is there a break in relationship? Doesn't Jesus say in Mark's Gospel chapter 5 that if you go to the altar to give a gift and there remember that you have something wrong with somebody else, you should leave your gift there, go and make it right with them, and then come back and give your gift? What's really important? It's properly discerning the body of Christ. So many people walk in on Sunday or the other times that they receive communion and they've not done a self-examination. They've not looked in to see if there's something in their life that's dishonoring the Lord, specifically in a relationship that they're in with someone else. Is there something awry in that relationship that will cause them in receiving this communion to make themselves sick? And that's the word rickety. Some are weak and sickly among you. They're rickety. That's a word that we used to use to talk about not feeling well. My body's rickety. Ricketed. There are people that are literally... Paul doesn't say who they are, does he, Pastor? He doesn't say, I know this guy and this guy and this guy. But he is indicating that there were people who were physically sick, and they were sick because of taking the communion unworthily. In fact, he goes a step further. They're permanently reclined. They're dead. They've taken this unworthily, and now they physically are dead. They're asleep. Now, what, they didn't miss heaven, but they missed out on a lot of heaven before they got to heaven because they hadn't properly discerned the body of Christ. So if we forget everything else, let's don't allow ourselves to be judged by Him. It's not that He won't and He shouldn't. But with the communion, dealing with relationships, let's look in ourselves. Let's do a self-examination. Let's do the research and let's reflect on it. And if we don't, then we will be reproved and chastened by the Lord. And of course, Paul says in that last verse, if we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. In other words, it can go so far in this relationship disease that the only way we can be made sure to make heaven is that the Lord reproves us so that we won't be condemned with the world but we'll be free from that. Now, I'm not against God reproving me because He takes me to the woodshed quite often. He does chasten me, and every son, the Bible says, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews says, every son is chastened by his father. So I'm being chastened by my Father. But there are some things that I don't have to be if I will do a self-examination, if if I will look into my heart. So I don't know what it is. All through the day, there's been this worship and this great atmosphere of worship. And I know the Lord spoke some things to me today about things in my life. And I dealt with it right there before I got to here. And I'll be praying while we're receiving and sharing in the community. I'm going to be praying, God, show me something else if there's something there that I need to correct. Because I got enough sickness in my body. I don't need to add to it because I disrespect your body. I think you get it. I think you understand it. Let's pray. Thank you for these words, Lord. It's alive and awakens us. A scripture that penetrates our heart, our soul, separating even the marrow and the bone. You really get in here. You get inside of us. And you've been doing that this morning. We've been aware of that through the worship and through the praise. And you've been speaking to hearts about their relationship to you and their relationship to one another. And I pray, Lord, if there's anything wrong between any of us in the room today, that we'll make that right before we receive the communion today. For it is our desire in this intimate relationship of the cup and the bread. It's our desire that we respect you, that we show you the honor that's due you for the very reason of what you did for us. And it's not our heart to disrespect you for that. So help us to discern, to properly recognize what is the body of Christ beyond this bread and this cup, on the faces of those around us, in the relationships that we have, even beyond this room. You'll make us aware.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnyon was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.